Hello, sir. Stand right there. And it's your name, please?
John Podesta.
And you are from which organization?
I am on the board of the League of Conservation Voters, was a White House Chief of Staff under President Clinton.
Well, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us. Any surprises out of tonight's debate?
Well, I think that all of the candidates proved that standing up for the environment meant standing up for health care, standing up for American jobs, standing up for national security. So I think people who came expecting to hear this be a kind of an issue that might have been a little bit off to the side learned that this is really a core issue and a kind of core vulnerability that the president has going into this election.
Are there any specific environmental issues that stand out for the 2004 election?
Yeah, I think energy security and the continuing dependence on imported oil in this country, what that does to us as what that does to our environment, but also what it does to our security posture. It seems to me that it's going to be a front and center issue as we move into the campaign in earnest.
Was there a winner to tonight's debate?
Well, I think that they all showed command of their information. I think that they were all strong on the issues that they were putting forward. But I think, you know, there was more of a loser, I think, in tonight's debate than there was a clear winner, and the loser was George W. Bush.
Is the American public really tuned in to environmental issues right now? You read the papers, you watch the news, it's homeland security, it's war in the Middle East.
Well, I think I come back to my point about oil dependence. And sure, we're at war in the Middle East. We've had two wars in Iraq. We had a war in Afghanistan whose roots were in the Middle East. A lot of that goes back to our dependence on foreign oil. And I think these candidates showed that there was a better way and a way that will lead to greater security in the United States.
Again, the issue of environmental justice, as we spoke about before, maybe you could give us a brief definition of what that is?
Well, I think what environmental justice is all about is the fact that the environmental degradation really hits poor people more than anyone. The toxic dumps are closer to their neighborhoods. The air pollution affects them more. There are higher incidences of asthma. There are higher incidences of lead paint poisoning in our poorest communities. And I think that we need to do something about that. And again, all these candidates have demonstrated a capacity to really push that forward and push that agenda forward.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. Right now I'm joined with Deb Callahan. She is the president of the National League of Conservation Voters. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you. We've got a great evening tonight.
Well, tell us a little bit about what went into preparing this evening.
Well, I can tell you these are really events that take a lot of work to pull off. You got a lot of coordination. But you know what? This was an important evening. This was an important thing to do. We kicked off the next 17 months of a debate about the environment, the future of this country. I think these candidates did a spectacular job. My staff did a terrific job. Our partner, the California League of Conservation Voters, was wonderful to work with. There was a lot of enthusiasm. So 2 months of hard work, always crossing our fingers, everything could pull together. And when it came to the show, people really did a great job.
What's your initial reaction to what happened on that stage tonight?
You know, I think tonight the environment won. We heard 5 committed presidential candidates talking about the environment, really, I think, bringing these issues out in a way that they hit home for, you know, an average American sitting at home on their sofa wondering how they can make their life a little bit better. And I think they talked about the issues of the day that really, you know, with respect to the environment, that pertain to people's own lives at home. And that's really the way you make this issue pop as a political issue. So we're delighted. It was a great debate.
What do you think was the key issue tonight?
Well, clearly a number of I was very impressed by the breadth of issues. You know, one of the things that makes the environmental issue hard to get your arms around is it encompasses every aspect of life, whether it's the air we breathe, the water we drink, the agriculture that produces our food, the communities we live in. You know, it's a broad issue. And I think what was astonishing is how that came to the fore. Very clearly, the public health and safety issues are important, like clean air, clean water, toxic waste cleanup. Global warming came into being, even people talking about agriculture, trade policy, and certainly there was a lot of discussion about this Bush administration and the differences that these Democrats have with the current presidential administration.
Yeah, one interesting theme that came up was national security versus oil dependency. Do you have anything to say about that?
It is very interesting. I'm hearing emerging in my discussions with people across the country as I travel and do my job, people who aren't environmentalists have really made a clear connection that our nation is less secure because, in fact, we rely on instable nations around the world to help provide us with the energy that we use the way that we're currently structured. And I think, you know, not just politicians, but regular everyday people realize America would be a lot better off if we weren't so dependent on dangerous foreign oil.
Thank you very much, Deb Callahan, League of Conservation Voters. Thank you. Hello, Mary Nichols is joining us right now. Mary Nichols, and what group are you affiliated with?
I'm a former president of the California League of Conservation Voters, and I now serve Governor Gray Davis as the Secretary for Natural Resources for the state of California. So I'm in charge of all of our wonderful coastline and forests and beaches, and it's a terrific job. But in that role, I get to see a lot of the Bush administration, and I really resonate with the comments of the candidates here tonight about the ways in which the Bush administration is hurting our environment.
Yeah, that seems to be a common theme, but tonight we're also here to learn a little bit more about these Democratic candidates. What did you learn about their issues on the environment this evening?
I think the most important thing I heard was that every one of them understands the relationship between the environment and our national security. Every single one of them addressed that issue head on. It's no longer just jobs and the environment as a domestic issue, you know, labor versus environmentalists or minority communities versus the environment. It's really putting it in a global context and talking about the environment as an integral part of our overall economic and security program. And frankly, that's where we need to be. I think that shows evolution on the part of the Democratic Party. I think most of the American public understands the issue that way. Certainly people in California do. They don't see it as an either-or choice. And so it was great to hear these candidates here tonight kind of spelling out some of the specifics of how they would approach it.
Was there any issue that you heard that was specific to California and California's future?
Well, I think the offshore oil issue and the fact that the Bush administration is putting us at risk by their efforts to undermine coastal zone protection laws, air and water quality laws, in order to make the world safer for oil drilling and mining and other kinds of development, that's the thing that probably is the most of interest to people here in California, because we have examples right up in front of our noses where the Bush administration is undermining the protections that people in California count on.
Thank you very much for stopping by to speak with us. Winston Hickox with the California EPA, thank you very much for joining us today. Anything surprising that you heard tonight?
Well, first I'd like to say that I'm extremely proud, having been a past president of the board of the California League of Conservation Voters, that this event turned out just so well. It's very important in terms of the election cycle ahead. And clearly, the person who wasn't in the room is the one who was talked most about. And I think the American people are soon going to realize that it's very important that we pick a new president next year. I think all the candidates did a wonderful job tonight. Any one of them today would make a better president than the one we have.
Well, did any of those candidates stick out in your mind?
Well, I prefer to keep an open mind where I am. But I think John Kerry shows a lot of leadership, but virtually all of the candidates acquitted themselves extremely well. John has a lot of good experience, and I think it comes clearly into focus based upon his responses. But I think all of them did very, very well.
What do you think is the most important environmental issue facing the next election?
There's absolutely no doubt about it, and it dominated the questions this evening. It has to do with us not being responsible as a nation in terms of climate change, global warming. We can't put our head in the sands, and that's what's been occurring in Washington, D.C. We have to be part of a world community. In California, Governor Davis signed a law that will cause us, beginning in model year 2009, we will require that the automakers provide a car for California that reduces greenhouse gas emissions. That's the kind of leadership we need for this country.
Thank you very much for stopping by.
Actor Peter Horton.
Breathe. Whew. Breathe. Thank you. What brought you out tonight?
Actually, Senator Kerry. I drove him here.
That's right. In your electric car or your hybrid car? Your electric car. Well, tell us a little bit about your electric car and why you bought it.
Because it's a great, great car. It's fast. It beats a Mustang off the line. It goes a long way. It goes 120 miles on a charge. And it absolutely emits no pollutants whatsoever. It's a great car. And I love it. And unfortunately, GM is not continuing with it. They're killing it. But it's unfortunate because it really, really could transform the automotive landscape.
Did you see anything this evening that specifically stuck out in your mind?
Al Sharpton, you can't help but have him stick out in your mind. It's great because he's able and willing to say things that no one else can say in this context. But I thought John Kerry did very, very well, and I thought Senator Lieberman did well. You know, there's finally, I think, the Democratic Democratic Party is starting to get a focus, is starting to get some energy behind it, and beginning to actually stand up to what's going on. There's been such passivity for so long, and I think finally people are saying, wow, this is real. We need to really, if we really care about these issues, we need to stand up. And
do you think the environment is an important issue to the American public?
I think it's not on the top five list of everybody, but it's on everybody's list. And I think that's partial. I think everybody is concerned about it. But I think part of the problem has been the way we've articulated the issues of the environment. They're very complicated and they're very politicized. And I think that's partly our responsibility, is try and find a way to make those issues more relevant to people, because they do care about it. They just, I think, at this point, don't really understand them in the context of other issues.
So do any of the candidates get to drive your electric car?
My wife. My wife gets to drive my electric car, and so do I. Other than that, no.
Thank you very much, Peter Horton, for joining us.
Hello.
Good to see you again.
Antonio Villaraigosa, yes, good to see you.
How are you?
City Council elect, or are you your
City Council elect.
You will be sworn in this week.
This Saturday.
Well, congratulations.
Actually start July 1st.
So what brought you out here tonight?
A deep, passionate interest in the future of the country. Tonight, we had an opportunity to see five individuals who, all of whom are passionate about the environment and about the future and the direction of this nation. And I'm here today because I honestly believe that George W. Bush has taken us back another century. He's the most anti-environment president that we've had, certainly worse than his father, than Reagan, than Nixon, than just about anyone we've ever had. And so it was a great opportunity to hear the candidates and their positions. But most importantly, it's a great opportunity for us to galvanize around a pro-environment presidential candidate.
Well, what issue do you think is being neglected right now in regards to the environment?
Well, I think probably the most salient issue that you can criticize the Bush administration for is the overdependence on oil. The interaction between business and environmental policies, his former relationships and the relationships of Vice President Cheney with Halliburton and the oil industry is certainly conflict of interest issues that have arisen over the years are certainly just a couple of them.
Were there any solutions that you heard from the candidates tonight that stuck out in your mind as being a really good choice?
Well, I think a number of the, in fact, all of the candidates have a commitment to alternative fuels, a commitment to ensuring that we're developing the resources and the alternatives that are necessary to move from an over-dependence on oil. We know that in many ways this war in Iraq has to do with new markets for oil dependence. And it seems to me that a clear and concise policy that focuses on alternative fuels is essential. And I think all of the candidates here spoke to that today.
Thank you very much, Antonio Villaraigosa.
Yes.
Thank you.
Tom Adams, President, California League of Conservation.
Tom Adams, President, California League of Conservation Voters. Thank you for joining us.
We loved it. There's, I think, the fact that President Bush is the worst president in history on the environment was pretty emphatically demonstrated here tonight. And I think that the message from the forum will give the public, when they vote a year from November, more reason to vote against President Bush.
Why was it important to have this forum so early in the presidential election cycle?
I think that polls show that a majority, strong majority of Americans, Republicans, Independents, and Democrats all support the environment. But the environment has been tamped down as an issue by the war and really the terrible economy that we have. And yet it's an issue that people do deeply care about. And the only way we can work with the public on this issue is to have events like this where the issues are brought to the people's attention. It'll make people aware of the problems. It'll heighten the priority of the environment in the general election. And I think that will hurt President Bush, which we would like to do.
What does the LCV plan to do to keep these issues in the forefront during the political campaigns ahead?
Well, the California League of Conservation Voters, we'll run a whole political campaign on this issue. We'll do our own advertising. We'll put volunteers in the field. The March primary, the California primary, could decide the presidential nomination, and we will probably endorse in that election, and I think the public will care about the environmental endorsement in the March primary, and environmental issues may help decide who's going to be the next Democratic nominee for the White House.
Thank you very much for stopping by to talk with us. Hello, L.A. County Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So how did you find the debate this evening?
Well, I thought it was a remarkable exposition and exhibition of unity and clarity on the issues that face this country and the environment. I mean, we have a choice in this country come 2004. The status quo, which is moving us backwards into the last century of environmental policy, or moving forward and trying to heal this planet, trying to make this a livable place and make it healthy for kids and for all of us. I thought it was a remarkable display of knowledge, of command, of the issues in the environment, and above all, a clear distinction that has been drawn between all of the Democratic candidates and the incumbent in the White House. We have a disaster in our hands environmentally, and it's a disaster that's being perpetrated by the Bush-Cheney administration. It's got to change, and I was very encouraged by the clarity of message tonight of all these candidates.
What's one thing specifically that has to change?
Well, I think the nonsense of trying to doctor documents that are based on science for political purposes and based on political ideology, namely the global warming issue of recent days, is just the tip of the iceberg. It's an entire culture in this administration that says the environment is not a secondary or tertiary issue, it's a non-issue. And that's unacceptable. It's not acceptable in the United States. It's unacceptable for our neighbors, and it's unacceptable for the planet. I think from all points of view, this administration has made anti-environmentalism a high priority. The Democratic Party has got to take that right to the people of America, make that case clear, and take the battle right to the Republicans. And I think it's a good message because it's a true message.
Now, as a person working at the local political level, like you are, what is it that you look for? What's important to you from politicians at a national level in regards to the environment?
We need a partnership at the local level with our federal government on issues such as mass transportation. In an urban community like Los Angeles, we need more funds for mass transportation, more encouragement, not less. The federal transit budget has been declining. Federal participation has been declining. There is little, if any, encouragement for mass transportation in urban centers outside of Washington, D.C. That's one example. The acquisition of lands and preservation of open space, expanding and creating national parks and national wildlife refuges, that has been on the decline since the Clinton-Gore administration went out of office. We are having more and more difficulty trying to keep valuable, pristine open space as public open space for all time under this administration. So it was a different story in prior years. So they're just from A to Z, we have had problems with the incumbent in the White House.
Thank you very much for being here, L.A. County Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky.
David Freeman, head of the California Power Authority, former head of the Department of Water and Power in Los Angeles.
Hello, David Freeman.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well.
Good. So what brought you out here tonight?
Well, these candidates, I wanted to listen to what they had to say, and I did so. And see a lot of old friends here also, so it's a nice evening. What are your questions?
Well, did you see anything that was surprising this evening?
Not really. Most of them, you know, did a pretty good job. But frankly, I think they all missed the big issue. The big issue, Senator Kerry and others alluded to it, but they didn't have an answer. They did real well at bashing Bush, but I don't think they came to grips with a program to really deal with the biggest environmental security problem on Earth, which is the fact that we are addicted to oil, and a country like Saudi Arabia can decide whether or not we get to work or not. And there is an answer, but nobody got with it. Senator Curry talked about hydrogen as some sort of a research project that required an institute. It doesn't require that. The cars we drive today, the internal combustion engine, run beautifully on hydrogen. And we need a program of hydrogen now. Jules Verne told us we could do this 100 years ago. You just split water with electricity, and it needs to be renewable electricity, and you use the hydrogen. You know, H2O is water. You use the hydrogen to run your cars, trucks, and buses. And when you burn the hydrogen, what do you get? You get water vapor. So we're going to be recycling water, and then we will truly have clean cities. We don't have to wait for a fuel cell or new technologies. You can just adjust the existing car engines and put hydrogen tanks in instead of gasoline tanks and build hydrogen filling stations. It doesn't require new inventions. But somehow or another, the automobile industry is putting out so much propaganda about fuel cells that even the Democrats have not got the essence of the fact that we can go to hydrogen in this decade and begin to reduce the oil that we use. And in 20 years' time, we can really have clean cities and be secure of dependence on these nations that hate us.
Now, as a former head of the Department of Water and Power, how important is it to work closely as a civic entity, as a utility, with environmental issues?
It's absolutely essential. I've spent my adult life promoting conservation and environmentally sensitive power sources as the head of a utility. It's about time we decided that the economy has to adjust to the environment and not vice versa. And that's what we did here at LNA. We started the programs of green power and solar power, and they're popular enough to where, since I've been gone, they continue and kind of makes me feel good. But we also kept the lights on when the rest of the state was having trouble. So public power does have a role to play. And the fact that it's publicly owned means that we were concerned about the consumer. And they only really care about two things. They want the power to be cleanly produced, but they want it reliable, and they want the rates to be stable. And we succeeded in doing that when I was ahead of L.A. And it was an enlightening experience, if you pardon the pun.
Well, thank you very much for stopping by and enlightening us. David Freeman. John Garamendi. Hello, State Insurance Commissioner. It's a little warm here under these lights.
Yes, but you're handling it very well.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good evening.
So anything stand out as remarkable or special this evening to you?
Yes. What stood out is that the Democrats are beginning to talk about a very, very critical issue for America, for every single American, which is the environment. So this is the beginning of a process, the beginning of pointing out to the American people that George W. Bush has been an environmental disaster in every single way, from our oceans to our air to the things we eat and to the water we drink. So they're going to talk about it and make this an issue, because this is a personal issue for every voter.
What issue do you think should be in the forefront for the Democratic Party when they're talking about the environment?
I think you talk about the health of our children and the very nature of our land for the next generation. It's obviously a jobs issue also. It's an issue where we can connect good environmental policies to economic growth. By not destroying the environment, we can actually create jobs. So we need to do all three of these things.
That seemed to be a theme through the evening, was that it's not the environment or jobs. It can be the environment and jobs.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. New technologies that are actually cleaner, more environmentally friendly, all of those are new jobs, new technologies, new opportunities for small businesses as well as the large. So we need to go there. Now, if you want to stick with the old oil and coal economy, those are yesterday's jobs. The rest of the world has to also move forward, as does our own nation. And therefore, we can export these technologies and the equipment and jobs that go with it.
Thank you very much for joining us, John Garamendi.
It's good to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ed Begley, Jr., actor, environmental activist.
Thanks for being here.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Ed.
Ed Begley, Jr.?
Yes.
Actor, environmentalist,
that's
anything
right.
else you want to add, human being?
No, very impressed with the League, very grateful to the League of Conservation Voters for doing this great forum. It was very, very impressive.
Do you think it was important to have this really early in the campaign?
Yes, you can really hear firsthand where people are at and who is the most attractive to you, who you want to support, and get into some serious issues, and they did.
What is an important issue to you in regards to the environment?
Lessening our dependence on foreign oil. Improving our air quality, improving our water quality, you know, improving the CAFE standards of cars, having more emphasis on renewables. All these things were discussed, and they're all very important, and they're all interrelated. So I was very impressed to see the way several of the candidates really have done things on those key issues and want to do more.
As an environmentalist, what do you recommend other people do, other citizens do, if they want to know more about these issues and hear more about these issues from candidates?
I think they should, you know, log on to the LCV.org, League of Conservation Voters, or NRDC, one of those groups. You know, get some of the information about the candidates to see what their issues are and how they stand on the issues. So that's the way I think they should best get educated. Read a lot about it. Read their materials and see what they have done, and then check the congressional record and see what they in fact have done.
Thank you very much, Ed Begley.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening. I'm Rachel Parker for LA 36.